welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dia Lanier. It's Wednesday, January 14th, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier. We air the show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And for more information on me and the services I offer, please go to my website at www.drdialanier.com. And I'm sorry, let me repeat that. It's www.drdialanier.com and spelled out, that's www.drdialanier.com. Now, last week we discussed the use of prayer and meditation in achieving wellness goals. And we talked about prayer, which is the oldest and most popular form of spiritual self-care, and talked about how it's been shown to result in greater feelings of well-being and to reduce stress, as well as to trigger the relaxation response rather quickly. And in addition to traditional prayers of the world's religions like Christianity and others, prayer can also take the form of a personal conversation between yourself and God. So simply taking time to acknowledge the blessings of the day can also be an effective form of prayer. And I think what's important is that the form of prayer be comfortable for you and that you pray sincerely on a regular basis. Most people find that the effectiveness of their prayers are bolstered in a group setting, or during a religious service such as in church or in a mosque or a temple. We also talked about meditation last week, which, like prayer, meditation is also a part of the world's spiritual and religious traditions. And for more than about 30 years, Western science has been verifying the numerous physical and psychological benefits that regular practice of meditation can provide. We talked about traditional meditation practices, but we also mentioned that you can practice meditation at any time during the day simply by focusing your attention on your breathing and observing what's occurring around you in the present moment without judgment and without thinking about what happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future, but really being present in the moment. So that's what we talked about last week. This week, we are talking about using complementary and alternative medicine in health and wellness. And initially, I was going to do a two-part series where we looked at the different modalities, but as I was doing the research, I discovered so many different methods that I wanted to include and share with you that actually we're going to continue this series over the next several weeks. So today we're going to talk about specifically holistic self-care, Ayurvedic medicine, and traditional Chinese medicine. Now, just to get an understanding on what is alternative medicine, in the broadest sense, the term alternative medicine is used to describe approaches to health and healing that don't rely on drugs, surgery, and or other conventional procedures for treating illness. So that's kind of a general definition of it. When you look at that in comparison to conventional medicine or allopathic medicine, the main difference is that conventional medicine looks at the body in terms of body organs or body systems and treats illness as opposed to the whole person. Now, it didn't start out that way. Actually, it started out with the ancient Greek physician Hippocrates, which is considered the father of Western medicine, he is. And his approach was more holistic, so it wasn't just on drugs or diagnostic skills used to treat people, but there was insight into the elements that are needed to produce and maintain health, and that they were natural, and they included hygiene, calm and balanced mental state, proper diet, a sound work and home environment, as well as physical conditioning. And so it started out kind of that way, and then we went along a path where the mind, body, spirit component of health was broken up, and so we focused more on the body in Western medicine, and especially when you started with the discovery of microbes and you know, or germs like bacteria, viruses, and fungi that cause illness. And then when you add on to that the development of the microscope, bacterial cultures, vaccines, x-rays, and the discovery of antibacterial drugs like penicillin and sulfa, Western or a conventional or allopathic medicine went more along the lines of treating illness and disease and not necessarily the whole. And so we've realized that we've gone a little too far down that for the most part. Instead of breaking the body up, breaking the body up into looking at the heart, you've had a heart attack, let's only go to the cardiologist, or there's a problem with your intestines, you need to see a gastroenterologist. Rather than solely relying on that, we've recognized the importance, at least I have, but I think we are in general, that it's important to look at the whole person and to look at what affect mental as well as a spiritual aspects of life are the effect that that has on the person in general. And so that's why we look at alternative medicine or other medicines that take more of a holistic approach, and that's why they're appealing to some people. If you've been in conventional medicine and you feel like something's missing, and if you don't have a physician that's open to the other modalities of care that are out there, sometimes you go into different areas to receive that. And so I definitely wanted to just make this information available, and just so you're aware, and I would encourage everyone to research, to talk with your physician or your practitioner, and to see what might be best for you. So looking at holistic self-care, with respect to alternative medicine, that approach to healing is from a holistic perspective in trying to create and maintain optimum health in your body, in your mind, and in your spirit. And so there are certain self-care principles that are involved in holistic care, and you can divide those into three categories: physical health, mental health, and spiritual health. And you need to address all of those in order to achieve a state of abundant well-being. With respect to physical health, it's not only having a healthy body, but also having a healthy environment in which to live and to work. And different aspects of the physical health component would be diet and nutrition. So we need to make sure we're eating healthy foods and emphasize a whole foods diet rich in fruits and vegetables, preferably organic if you're able. One thing I forgot to mention is if that's a problem, they do have natural veggie and fruit washes that can help remove residue and dirt and things of that nature if buying organic really is expensive for you. In addition to that, complex carbohydrates, nuts, seeds, fiber, pure water, and if possible, organically raised meat and poultry products. So that would be in terms of diet and nutrition. Also, nutritional supplements may be needed. If we are not having a well-rounded diet, certain vitamins and minerals that have antioxidant properties, we may need to supplement with those. For example, vitamin C, beta-carotene, vitamin E, the B-complex vitamins. If you're exposed to high levels of stress, you may need more of those, as well as folic acid, iron, calcium, zinc, and there are a variety of others, but these would be important to include if you're not getting them in your diet. Probiotics is another thing, and basically that encourages the growth of certain bacteria that are in our body that helps that are called good bacteria that helps us maintain good health and also help us regain our health once it's been upset. So things like you may have heard about Lactobacillus acidophilus, and that's one of the probiotics. In addition, there would be exercise, so making sure you're having at least 30 minutes, but preferably 60 minutes of exercise for 3 or more days of the week is very good, and we've talked in detail about exercise. But sleep is also something important to include, and when we're sleeping, that's the body's regenerative process. time. That's when those processes are at work. So if you are not getting enough sleep, if you're getting to sleep later than you should be doing, if you're not sleeping as deeply as you need, then you're going to upset the normal circadian rhythms that our bodies work on. And so it's important to keep that in mind. Another aspect of holistic self-care other than the physical health would be mental health. And that really is a condition of peace in mind and contentment and positive beliefs and attitudes, I would say, with respect to alternative medicine. So ways that you can take care of that are through affirmations, which are auto-suggestions or positive statements that you can use to change the way you think about yourself and your health. And so it's not a matter of looking in the mirror, telling, you know, if you know you need to lose some weight, telling yourself you're thin, you know, that's not really what I'm talking about. But something like, I think my favorite would be, every day in every way I'm getting better and better. And that's something that's a true statement. And if you have something negative that's playing in your head, a statement, you know, I'll never be good enough, I can't do it, you know, that's awful to have ringing in your head every day. You can replace it with something more positive. Besides affirmation, there's also breath work and different breathing techniques. Journal writing, which is an excellent way to release. So I'm sorry about that. This is Dr. Lanier. I had technical difficulties. I hope that you can hear me. I'm not quite sure what happened, but I'll have to figure that out after the show. What I was talking about was holistic self-care and looking at spiritual health, looking at being spiritually healthy and what that means, basically a connection with your spirit, with God, as well as being healthy socially in terms of your relationships with your family, your friends, and other community. And we talked about prayer and meditation as forms for that, but also in terms of practicing gratitude. So that really is a great way to produce a feeling of joy and self-acceptance. It's really better to look at life as the glass being half full rather than half empty. And if you keep a gratitude journal, take time every night to write down all the blessings that came your way during the day, that can help you keep you from taking your life for granted and change your perceptions on things as well as the way you live your life. So that's some holistic self-care techniques. I wanted to talk briefly or give a brief overview of Ayurvedic medicine. That actually has been practiced in India for the past 5,000 years, and the meaning is science of life. And it's a comprehensive system of medicine that combines natural therapies with a highly personalized approach to maintaining health and treating disease. Ayurvedic medicine places emphasis on body, mind, and spirit equally and really strives to restore the harmony of the particular individual. And what it does is it looks at the overall health profile of the individual, including strengths and susceptibilities. And once that's established, it becomes the foundation for all clinical decisions. The Ayurvedic doctor would identify the patient's metabolic body type, and then a treatment plan would be designed to guide that individual back to harmony with his or her environment. And that may include dietary changes, exercise, yoga, meditation, massage, herbal tonics, herbal sweat baths, medicated enemas, as well as medicated inhalations. And so the main goal is to help maintain balance in the person's body, mind, and spirit. And everything is viewed as being composed of five basic elements, and that's either ether or space, air, fire, water, and earth. And those are similar to the elements in traditional Chinese medicine. And basically, those elements combine to form the metabolic body types or doshas. And there are three, vata, which is based on ether, space, and air, pitta, fire and water, and kapha is water and earth. And basically, most people are a mixture of dosha characteristics, according to Ayurvedic medicine, with usually one being more predominant than the other. And each body type flourishes under a specific diet, exercise, and plan and lifestyle. So, for example, the Vata body type, the primary characteristic of that is changeability. The Pitta metabolic type is relatively predictable, and the Kapha body type metabolic type is relaxed. And so even though each person may have a particular dosha that's predominant, all three of the doshas are present in varying degrees in the cells and tissues or organs, according to Ayurvedic medicine. So Vata represents motion that activates the physical symptoms, physical activity, and nerve force. And so it allows the body to breathe and circulate blood. Pitta, the metabolism, processes food, air, water, and is responsible for charging the hundreds of endocrine and enzymatic activities throughout the body. And then kapha, the structure of bones and tendons, muscle and fat that holds the body together and offers nourishment and protection. And basically, imbalance in the doshas are the first sign that the mind and body are not perfectly coordinated. And so the plan is to get all of that back into balance. And according to Ayurvedic medicine, there are seven major factors that can disrupt physiologic harmony, and that would be genetic, congenital, internal, seasonal, and magnetic electrical influences, as well as external trauma and natural tendencies or habits. When you look at in terms of Ayurvedic physicians diagnosing, they traditionally relied on observation, even though that's changing a little bit as you combine Ayurvedic traditions with modern diagnostic methods. But usually special attention is paid to the pulse, the tongue, the eyes, and the nails. Once you make your diagnosis, there are four main methods by which an Ayurvedic physician would manage the disease, and that would be cleansing and detoxification, collectively called panchakarma, by different purifying techniques, some of which include vomiting, bowel purging and enemas, blood cleansing, and nasal douching. The second would be palliation, or shaman, which is believed to balance and pacify the bodily doshas. And that uses a combination of herbs, fasting, yoga, stretches, breathing exercises, and meditation. The third is rejuvenation, or rasayana, which is a program of tonification or a physiologic tune-up, basically. And there are three categories of those treatments, which would be special herbs, mineral preparations, and exercises. And then the last is mental hygiene and spiritual healing, or sattva-jaya. And that's a method of improving your mind to reach a higher level of spiritual or mental functioning. And it's usually accomplished by releasing psychological stress, emotional distress, and unconscious negative beliefs. And so those different categories are mantra or sound therapy, yantra or concentrating or geometric figures, tantra to direct energy throughout the body, meditation to alter states of consciousness, and it also includes gems, metals, and crystals for their subtle vibratory healing powers. So that's an overview of Ayurvedic medicine. Traditional Chinese medicine actually is one of the world's oldest complete systems of holistic health care, and it combines the use of medicinal herbs, acupuncture, food therapy, massage, and therapeutic exercise, along with recognizing that wellness in mind, body, and emotions depends on the harmonious flow of a life force energy known as qi. Traditional Chinese medicine really has proven effective for a lot of conditions, including chronic degenerative diseases, cancer, infectious diseases, things like allergies and childhood ailments, as well as heart disease and AIDS. So in traditional Chinese medicine, you're really looking for an underlying cause of the imbalance and patterns of disharmony in the body, and each individual is viewed as being unique. So whereas sometimes with a Western medicine, you'll provide a treatment for a specific illness, in traditional Chinese medicine, they address how the illness manifests in a particular patient and then treat the patient, not just the disease. So the philosophy behind traditional Chinese medicine is really preventative in nature. And they also may use terms that are found in nature, elements like wind, heat, cold, dryness, and dampness may be used to describe the body. And also the terms yin and yang are used by the traditional Chinese medicine practitioner in order to describe the opposing physical conditions of the body. And those stem from a basic Chinese concept describing the interdependence as well as the relationship between opposites, basically. So when you're looking at applying those concepts to the human body, the yin refers to the tissue of the organ, while the yang refers to its activity. And the yin deficiency, for example, the organ doesn't have enough raw materials to function, and yang deficiency, the organ doesn't react adequately when needed. Traditional Chinese medicine also introduces major component of the body called qi that Western medicine doesn't even acknowledge. And it's a